derivatives with tailored features. Let me just put a little footnote here. I'm not trying to pitch these highly complex, superstructured derivative products so that we can make a ton of margin on. What I'm trying to say here is, unless you're interested in that, if you are, then you can talk to us after the session and be more than happy to accommodate. But what we're trying to talk about here is that because ineffectiveness is going to be so important in FAS 133 hedge accounting, you have to investigate and examine what your true risk exposure is. Just being close enough isn't good enough anymore because that's going to have income volatility ramifications. Just for an example, the inability to hedge the credit spread volatility of a corporate bond the Treasury locks in futures contracts could result in unwanted earnings volatility. For example, in August 1998, when Treasury rates plummeted but credit spreads widened, this revealed just how ineffective these strategies could be on a fair value basis. When you're trying to hedge a corporate bond with a credit spread component using a short Treasury's futures contract. Ineffectiveness, however, could have been reduced if positions were hedged using derivatives more tailored to hedge this risk exposure, i.e. derivatives with a credit spread component. So what does that mean? Well, for asset hedges, if you looked historically, like back in August 98 or late part of 98 when you saw this phenomenon occur, swaptions and CMS caps, CMS standing for constant maturity swap, they more accurately capture the credit component of interest rate movements, and hence, they can hedge corporate bonds better than treasury-linked derivatives. On the liability side, SPDA and UL credited rates, what that means, SPDA stands for single premium deferred annuity, UL stands for universal life. Just to take a step back and explain what these products are, they're typically these accumulation-type products that insurance companies sell. They have like these guaranteed rates, guaranteed for about a year, reset periodically. Typically that reset rate will be based off of maybe the 5-year treasury rate, something along those lines. And the rate is guaranteed never to go below some minimum rate guarantee, like 3 or 4%. Well, just from that description, you can tell that these the risk exposure here is more to the intermediate part of the curve, since that's where the credited rate is going to be reset off of. Typically, what insurance companies might consider is to buy interest rate caps to hedge the risk when rates go up, because as rates go up, they'll have to credit a higher rate, and that's going to squeeze interest margins. Well, if they buy an interest rate cap, you know, what is the index or the reference rate that you should use for that cap? Well, a typical one is LIBOR, but however, if you use a LIBOR cap, since LIBOR is a short rate, this could display low correlation with these intermediate term liabilities. What I mean by that is LIBOR, typically 3-month LIBOR, versus the 5-year or 10-year treasury rate, if there's curve steepening or flattening, you can see that there could be quite a bit of basis risk there. Since what you want to have additional income when the 5-year or 10-year part of the curve increases. So to eliminate this curve risk and increase hedge effectiveness, 5 to 10-year CMS or CMT index derivatives, such as caps, floors, etc., could be used. This is a point that Marty made earlier. The third strategic consideration is designation flexibility. One of the few good things about FAS 133 is that it affords considerable flexibility to de-designate and redesignate the hedged item. Of course, after recognizing any hedge, I should actually say ineffectiveness. I apologize for the ineffective preparation of the slide.